Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at Roman Catholic theology and the subject of justification as it relates to the idea of purgatory and indulgences. Purgatory in Roman Catholic theology is the place where Roman Catholics go after they die and suffer or atone for their sins. In our last few studies, we've read from official Roman Catholic Church documents and sources proving that this is what they teach, and also bringing out the idea that basically what this means is man is saved not by grace through faith, but also there's the idea that works somehow contribute or earn or merit heaven, which is completely contrary to the teaching of the New Testament. I want to read to you a couple of sources that are not necessarily official Roman Catholic Church documents, but have been used by them to clarify what purgatory is all about. And the first one I want to read to you is from a book called All for Jesus by Father Farber. And part of it records some revelations that a sister, Francisca of Pampeluna, had of revelations about purgatory. And here's one of the quotes. And hopefully as I read this, you'll say this sounds completely foreign to the idea of the New Testament and is almost bizarre. She said that she had this revelation of individuals coming to her and describing how long they had been in purgatory and for what reasons. And here's the quote. A holy bishop, for some negligence in his high office, had been in purgatory 59 years before he appeared to her. Another bishop, so generous of his revenues that he was named almsgiver, had been there 5 years because he had wished for the dignity. Another bishop had been there 40 years. A priest, 45 years, because he, through his negligence, some sick persons had died without the sacraments. A gentleman, 59 years for worldliness. Another, 64 for fondness of playing cards for money. Also, from one of the church doctors, a St. Robert Bellarmine, says, there is absolutely no doubt that the pains of purgatory in some cases endure for centuries. This is a quote from Saturday in Purgatory by John M. Hoffitz, a book which was endorsed by F.J. Spellman, a former Archbishop of New York. And also, there's recorded some revelations have indicated that some people are in purgatory until the second coming. So basically, here are individuals that are suffering years for their sin, atoning for their sin because of their ungodly conduct. I want to give you 11 passages that clearly prove that there is no purgatory, and that actually the idea of a purgatory runs contrary to the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The first one is from Romans 3, verse 25, which says, whom God sent forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith. The term propitiation means satisfaction or appeasement. God's wrath or anger over our sin is appeased through the blood of Jesus Christ as we put our faith and trust in him. Also very clear in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what purgatory is. It's an aspect of condemnation coming under God's judgment. But for those that are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. And I think one of the clearest statements in the book of Romans is Romans chapter 11 and verse 6, which says you cannot mix grace and works together, otherwise you've distorted the idea of what grace means as well as what works means. It's very clear in verse 6, which reads, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. And that's the exact problem that Roman Catholic theology has, is that they want to say that man is saved by grace. What they mean by that is that grace comes through the sacraments, and then also man has to work to receive sanctifying grace in this life. And then it goes even beyond this life in a man suffering and atoning for their sins. It's clear that Paul says if it's by works, it can't be by grace, and if it's by grace, it can't be by works. Otherwise, those words have no meaning at all. Grace means something that is unearned, unworked for. So once you add one work, then you have completely destroyed the concept and the idea of what grace means. So it's clear if it's by grace, it can no longer be by works. And if it's by grace, then there cannot be such a thing as purgatory. A couple of other scriptures that we could look at which relate to the idea that when you die, you go straight to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 is very clear, which says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That means when you die, when your soul leaves this body, you go immediately into the presence of the Lord. And Paul says, we're confident of this very thing. And the only way to be confident of such a thing is not to base it on works, if you have enough good works or you are in a state of perfection when you die, but it's based on the grace of God. Also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, Paul says this, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell." Verse 23 says, "For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better." So when you depart, when you leave, when you die, you're with Christ, which is far better. There is no room for purgatory in that concept. Who wants to die and then go suffer and then be with Christ? That's not what Paul's looking forward to. He's looking forward to being in the direct presence of the Lord. Also, moving over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, focusing on the fact that Christ is the one that purged our sin. We don't suffer and bring about purging of our own sin. As Hebrews 1, verse 3 reads, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Christ by himself purges our sins. And so what purgatory does, it takes away from the sufficiency or the fact that the work of the cross was sufficient, was complete on our behalf. And we simply put our faith and trust in Christ. Also, Hebrews 10, verse 17, speaking of God, says, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more." So when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, our sins are remembered no more by God. We don't die and then have to suffer and pay for them. Also added to this list could be Colossians 2, verse 13, which is, "Having forgiven you all trespasses." Thank God for that, that all of our trespasses are forgiven. Another passage which is absolutely important on this topic is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, which says, "And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." The term propitiation, once again, means satisfaction. It says Christ himself is our propitiation. God has not asked us to cooperate with bringing about our salvation. It's not that, as Carl Keating said, Christ has done his part, now we do our part. Christ has done his part. The work of Christ on the cross has brought about complete propitiation as we put our trust in him. In our study yesterday, I also referenced 1 Peter 3:18, which says Christ suffered once for sins. Also, John chapter 5 and verse 24, which reads, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." So there's plenty of scriptures that completely refute the idea that you suffer somehow or bring about some purging of your own sin after you die in a place called purgatory. Then if you just think about it, what about the thief on the cross? What were the words that Jesus said to him? "Well, you've been a great sinner, so you have to spend a lot of time in purgatory." No, he said to him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." Added to the obvious problems that we've looked at with the idea of purgatory is the idea that in Roman Catholic theology, people that are still alive on earth could pay money to have a mass said, and that'll lessen that individual's time in purgatory. So in one sense, the Catholic Church theology is that the church is saving itself, not just an individual in their relationship with the Lord, but actually others participating in helping merit another person's salvation. Last week we mentioned the idea that the Catholic Church has the concept of the treasury of merit, which is the idea that there's some individuals' lives that they've lived so pious that they have extra amount of works that they could put into this treasury of merit that they don't need for their own life to be able to enter into heaven. And now other individuals could draw from that treasury of merit. One such individual was Mary. They said that she had so much extra grace that she added a lot to this treasury of merit that other individuals are able to draw from. This is just completely contrary to the sufficiency of Christ on the cross. As we look at in our next two studies for the rest of the week, the idea of indulgences, it'll make it even clearer that the Roman Catholic Church, no matter what they may say, or no matter what one individual Roman Catholic may believe, their doctrinal position is that man is saved by faith plus works. It is not by the grace of God. It is works that are added to this system of belief. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing purgatory is not that if someone believed in purgatory, that would negate any possibility of them being saved, but what I'm trying to show is that this is part of a theology that teaches man is saved by faith plus his own goodness or his own good works. And that is the doctrine that's condemned in Scripture, especially as you read the book of Galatians. Paul refuted that idea, and he said that if anyone would preach any other gospel, let them be accursed. Let them come under God's judgment. So this is a doctrine that the church has had to wrestle with from the very beginning, from its very birth, a doctrine that would want to teach that man is saved by faith in Jesus Christ plus his works, where it's clear that it's by faith alone in the completed work of Jesus Christ. I'd like to close with a final word to those who are Roman Catholic who might be listening. I am not judging you individually. What I'm trying to pass on is what the Roman Catholic Church officially teaches. You may or may not believe all these doctrines that we have looked at, but this is what your church holds to. And what I've been trying to do is look at the Scriptures and say, do these doctrines line up with what the Word of God says? And I would love to help you in any way that I can in order for you to understand the Bible more accurately. And the series that we're doing on Roman Catholic theology, we want to offer those to you for free so that you could study them, you could take them back, and see if I've misquoted or misrepresented the position. And if you would call us at the number that will be offered at the end of the program, if you would make it known that you're part of the Roman Catholic Church and you want these tapes, we'll mail them out to you for free. We'll get them to you so that you could study the Word of God and see if these things are true and accurate. Or if anyone else wants more information about Solid Ground, we'd encourage you to contact us or contact us at our new website at www.calvarylm.org. And there you'll be able to see the different tapes that are available as well as the notes that I use for the different studies that we have. Those are available to you. All the quotes and the scripture references that I use will be there available to you. And I want you to take advantage of getting those so that you could have them for your own study purposes so that you could be better equipped to be useful in the kingdom of God.